for you too. How about?
Okay.
Greetings. Welcome to As You Wish Talk Radio. I'm your host, James Gillen, and we've got another great show tonight. I wanted to give everybody a heads up. We've got like an M6.5, I guess, flare hitting the earth, and, you know, it is making people a little wonkers. You know, people are getting headaches and tired and a lot of processing going on. So, you know, there's a lot of processing going on. But there's some crazy things going on out there. We're just surrounded by people having major relationship things happening and split ups and processing, and it seems like everything's coming up, you know, hitting the surface. So it's a combination of things. There's people's old wounds and traumas coming up, and childhood trauma, and, you know, things like that, abandonment issues, you know, a lot of trauma around childhood seems to be coming up all over the planet right now, and people are acting things out in some very crazy ways, and we're just getting inundated with calls about this, saying what is going on. I sent a newsletter out. You should sign up for the newsletter if you want to hear about this, but it talked about the 5D overlay and what's happening, and it's a combination of things. People's stuff is coming up. The old stuff that they never processed is coming up, and on top of that, these other energies are jumping in on that stuff. So, you know, this Archon network, a lot of the serpentine, reptilian, gray network, and some of the demonic type energies are just going bonkers right now too, because their time is up. Their time's coming to a close. And what I've seen is a lot of people are shifting, you know, they're moving away from spirit, from soul and spirit, and shifting into ego drive and fear. And they actually think they're operating on soul and spirit, and they made agreements to come in and do certain things, but they've just pretty much trashed that agreement and run the other way. And that's happening quite a bit. Some people are going into fear and running back into the ego and totally sabotaging their relationships and their future. And other people are jumping into it and taking this ride, you know, and really moving with the soul and spirit guidance. And so, and it's very sad, because I'm counseling a lot of people right now. They're just pretty torn up. You know, I had my own experience around this too, but because of this shift, I mean, people they really trusted and believed in and loved end up, you know, not totally being somebody else, you know, somebody completely else. But, you know, it's sad that this is going on, but it is a combination of the old stuff coming up, the old program, the Archon Network program, of everything external, you know, everything outside of yourself, and the internal program of the 5D program, where we made agreements and contracts and, you know, with our soul and spirit. And it seems like the people that are choosing that path are really accelerating. And unfortunately, there's a separation when their mate chooses the ego path, you know, they think about out of fear and insecurity that the old ways are going to continue, but the old ways are collapsing. The third dimensional matrix with the Archon network in control is totally collapsing. So very few people know who they are. Very few people know why they're here. Very few people are really plugged into soul and spirit, and it's very easy to be thrown back into the ego when, you know, these energies come in, when your stuff comes up. And when your stuff comes up, it's very easy to be influenced. you know, by people that are also very dysfunctional. So it's kind of a mess out there. And, you know, some people are taking the hard path, you know, and they're going to have the universal law step in, you know, hard and heavy on them because that's what they need. Their egos aren't going to win this one because that world, the ego world, the three-dimensional world, the Archon Network, all of that is over with and it's coming to a close. But anyway, that being said, there's a wonderful article, sign up for the newsletter, and you can go back and read the old newsletters, and it talks about the 5D overlay going on and relationships and what's going on if you want to get that. And just go to eSETI.org and sign up for the newsletter, and you can see all the old newsletters. That being said, we were going to have a different show, but you know, as we kind of stay in the moment here at the ranch and let things unfold, and you know, we had those amazing things. We have Franny up here and her son, Deacon, and Deacon's 11 years old. And Deacon came up to the ranch and just started asking a lot of questions, a lot of very powerful questions. And so what we did was when he was asking these questions, we started thinking about it. And I said, you know, you guys should come on the show and ask these questions from an 11-year-old perspective. And so we're going to go through these questions and then get kind of an 11-year-old perspective on things on the planet, because we seem to have forgot a lot of things. And now we're probably going to get educated, you know, from an 11-year-old perspective on what we forgot. So without any further ado, I'm going to welcome Deacon and Franny on the show, and welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
Yeah. And we're going to get Deacon to pull out his questions. He wrote a lot of them down. And so we're just going to go one by one answering his questions. And then maybe later on we'll have a few questions for Deacon.
Okay. Hi. So my first question, have you ever seen a crop circle?
You know, I've seen hundreds of crop circles, but unfortunately only on the internet. I haven't been able to travel there and check them out. And I've done a lot of research around crop circles, and they're basically greeting cards from the ETs. And they send a little probe down, and the probe will fly around the field, and then the crop circle just lays out almost instantaneously. So, they leave a pretty interesting energy signature when they do that.
What do you think it means?
Oh, boy. Some of the crop circles are fake. They're man-made, but the really intricate ones, they're laid out just in minutes or even seconds, are real. And there's been a lot of research on that. There's energy residues. The nodes of the crops are just barely bent. They're not broken. And, you know, there's an easy way of telling whether one's real or not. But they're basically greeting cards, and they have messages in them. And some teach us the kind of like the sacred geometry of creation. And then others just have symbols in them to remind us of ancient past, where ancient cultures had different symbols and things like that. And some are warnings about the future and upcoming things happening in the future. And some explain exotic technology. So there's a lot of different messages in them.
Hey, are you ready for next question?
I'm ready.
Okay, number two. Have you ever interacted with an alien?
I've interacted with a lot of aliens. And some were not so good, and some were a little aggressive and trespassing, but the majority of them were very benevolent and very loving and taught me a lot of things and healed me, had all kinds of great experiences. But there are some that you kind of want to hold back and not engage.
Okay. When did you first see a UFO?
I think I first saw a UFO when I was probably around 5 years old or 6 years old. We used to sleep out on our lawn. We lived in the high desert, and it was really hot. The house got really hot, so it was hard to sleep. So we just threw our sleeping bags out on the lawn, and we saw things flying up there that would come in really fast, like blue lights, and then stop. And then they'd do a zigzag pattern, and then stop again, and then they glow and get really bright, and they just go straight up and take off. And so we saw a lot of crazy activity like that in the mountains around the area. The mountains would, something would go down behind the mountain, and the mountain would just glow like crazy, and then it would take off again. could have been Ralph Ring stuff because they were actually building UFOs at the time in Otis Carr, but they shut that plant down where they're actually making them. But, you know, we saw a lot of things that you just couldn't explain as a kid. You know, all the way through my childhood, I you know, just saw a lot of things that there's no way I could explain.
What do you think the aliens use that technology to build the UFOs?
Or what kind of technology did they use? It's really interesting. Some of the UFOs our government have back engineered, and we use a lot of kind of exotic metals and things like that. And we have BMW make some of the parts for us, but people don't know about that. But and that's our own government back engineering things from crash sites and things like that. This has been going on, I know, at least the 30s, maybe even before that, in Germany. So there's a lot happening. But some of the ships from the higher dimensional beings are organic. They're like living. And they're like living metals. The only way I can say, they actually grow them. And they're conscious. They're sentient. And they totally interface with the person on them. Some ships are just pure energy. And the beings on them are energy beings. And some ships are light ships. And the people on them are light beings.
Okay, next question. Have you ever been abducted by an alien?
That's a good one. I think I've been a willing participant, and I think I made agreements before it happened, before I incarnated. I remember as a kid, though, having some encounters that kind of scared me, and so I took a drill and some big screws, and I screwed the door shut so nobody could come in the outside door anymore. And my dad asked me, what are you doing? And I said, I'm making sure they don't come back. And so I had a couple experiences, I think, that may not have been, you know, so it kind of scared me. But I also remember some very benevolent beings, some Nordic-like beings that came, and very loving. And also masters that would appear to me when I was a kid. And Mary appeared to me when I was 5 years old. I almost died of bronchial pneumonia and saved my life in the hospital and brought me back. So I've had a lot of experiences, you know, and they're very vast in nature.
Okay, so how do you know if you see a good alien or a bad alien?
Yeah, that's a tough one. You know, what I talk about, a lot of people see pictures of the grays. And I go, that's a real gray area, because some people have some good experiences with the grays, I guess. And sometimes the little grays are just little robots that a lot of different races use. The tall grays I haven't had a good encounter with. It's been negative. And actually, we've been kind of battling them lately, keeping them out of our space. And there's some reptilian beings and serpent beings we've been really fighting to keep out of here and keep out of our space. But the vast majority of them are benevolent, but there are some regenerate ETs. And what I go by is what it feels like. If I don't feel love and joy and bliss, and if they're not empowering me as an individual and teaching me things that are helping me grow, then I don't want to hang out with them. You know, if I don't feel love coming from them, I won't hang out with them. I'll call in the higher beings and the masters to take them away.
So number six, how would you protect yourself in an invasion?
Well, that's a good one. Protect myself. You know, I think some of these beings, their technology is so far beyond ours. There's really no contest. And so if they really did want to come and take us over, they would have done it a long time ago. And if there are any invasions, they're probably going to be false flag or fake ones our own government is doing. But I don't think that's a problem or will be a problem, because the more benevolent ones have the regenerates in check, and there's a huge cleanup going on, so they're cleaning them up. But, you know, it's an interesting question. I don't foresee that in the future, but, you know, if it did happen, you know, I would probably call on the highest beings I could and bring everybody in to help me and bring in the benevolent beings to deal with it, because I think going out there with a pea shooter or something might, you know, any kind of gun or something like that probably wouldn't be too functional considering their technology. Another one?
Okay, next one. Would you go to their planet if they asked?
You know, that really depends on who asks.
You know, there's a lot of, you know, if it was just some grays, I wouldn't want to hang out on their planet. You know, I would more hang out with people that were more like me or very loving and supportive. So if there was an opportunity, especially now, if there was an opportunity where some beautiful Pleiadian beings came down and said, hey, you know, hop on board, I don't think I'd skip it in a heartbeat. And because I've been with them in the past and they're like my family. So it'd be like basically going home to family. But I'd have to really think hard on that and make sure I'm finished with my work here and then I'm done here.
Cool. What do you think aliens look like?
Wow, you know, the body is an adaptation to the environment. And so the planets, you know, there's huge planets like with the huge gravitational force. So you're probably going to have some really short, squatty aliens there, you know, and they're probably really thick boned, you know, and who knows, they might have some kind of carbon or titanium in their system, you know, and they're to keep them together. But, you know, there could be some really short beings. If there's hardly any gravity, they could be really tall, thin beings. You know, if they're coming from another dimension, they'd probably be thinner and taller because they don't have the gravitational forces. You know, so there's all kinds of beings that have adapted to the environment. And, you know, some have blue skin, some have orange skin, some have red skin. They're all different colors. Some beings are copper-based, so their skin's more blue or green. Mm-hmm. And some are iron-based, so they're more red. So there's all different types of beings out there. And some are energy beings, and some are pure light beings. And so there's such a vast array of them out there that, God, it'd take forever to catalog all of them. I think in the internet, some people have cataloged a bunch of them, but a lot of them look like us and they're ancestors and they're returning and we've kind of made a mess of things here and they're coming back to help us out a little bit.
Okay. So, next question. How do you speak to aliens?
I have my alien decoder ring that I speak into and it, no, I'm just kidding. That's before your time. the best way to speak to most aliens are telepathic. The vast majority of them don't speak. They don't use words. It's telepathic. They don't need it. But the ones that have come to the earth as ambassadors to help out are trained in many languages. And that's, they can speak in many languages. But when you talk to them, it's just mind to mind or heart to heart. You feel their energy when they're around. And like when the Pleiadians come, you get real giddy and it's really funny and everybody's like really happy and for no reason. You know, when they're around, you know, other beings are, they all have different energy signatures. But best way to talk to them is to just fill your heart with as much love and joy and bliss as possible and get in a really good space. Think of the most happiest time in your life. Some people that's hard because it's hard for them to pull a memory up like that because they've had a rough childhood or a rough time. But if you can find that space and then get yourself energies up and then send it to them because the mind in which you seek is the mind in which you connect. So if you're in a really high loving vibrational space and you send the message out saying, hey, I want contact. I want to learn. I only want the benevolent ones to come to me, the positive ones. And you set your intention on that and send that message out, they get it telepathically. And if you do that enough, if you focus on that enough, you're going to create that reality. Because we create our own realities down here. And it's the same thing as above, so below. So if you focus on the loving, benevolent ones, you'll have that experience. If you watch a bunch of stupid movies on Hollywood where they show people eating everybody and slicing and dicing and bugs coming to conquer us, then and you have those fears, then you shouldn't try to contact aliens, you know. You should first heal your ignorance and heal your fears, you know, and get rid of that.
Okay. How did you act when you first saw a UFO?
I was really young, the first UFOs I saw, and I think I was just in awe of them, trying to figure out what it was and what could fly like that. You know, when I remember watching these things zip in and stop and zigzag and get big and turn and do crazy things, and I had no explanation for it, and I was trying to find some But there was a part of me that knew what they were. I just knew. Okay, that was a UFO. It was nothing else. And so it was more in just awe and wonder when I saw them. And then curious, I guess, trying to figure out what that was.
Okay, and that's all the questions I have.
That's all the questions. Okay, I have some questions for you, if you don't mind.
Okay.
Okay, what I want is your perspective on let's say if you were an ET and you came to this Earth, what would you tell the people of Earth?
Well, it depends. Well, would I be a good alien?
Yeah,
or
you're
bad
good.
Alien?
Let's say you're a good alien and you see what's going on, you know, with the environment and the wars and all the other things happening.
I would either warn them if, like, there's an attack coming from bad aliens, or just like say like what you should do and take my advice because I've seen it already, or something. Like tell them what they should start doing
to, like, clean up the planet and,
yeah,
and stop the wars and everything.
Yeah.
So if they probably stopped all the wars and the destruction and the pollution, then the good aliens could come.
Yeah.
But if they keep doing the negative stuff, then bad aliens might come, huh?
Yeah.
Or maybe it's the bad aliens that are doing that, that are inspiring people to do bad things, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Maybe they're already here. And the good aliens are coming to clean them up, you know, to help us.
Maybe
get back
I am
track.
One.
Hey, there you go. Now, that is the most brilliant thing you've ever said. Because who knows in your soul, maybe you are from another place and you came here to help. You chose to incarnate here, but in another life, you might have been flying around on ships.
Mm-hmm.
And you have a family up in the stars.
Mm-hmm.
Let me see. Another question is, what would you like to see in the future as far as UFOs or aliens coming to the Earth?
Like, what I would see if they came?
Yeah, just what would you like to see? I mean, what kind of experience would you like to see happen on Earth if let's say, some big, really advanced race of beings showed up?
I would like them, if they're good, to, like, help us out in, like, planting and, like, maybe get us some intergalactic weapons for if, like, anyone tries to nuke us or tries to have war with us again.
Mm-hmm. So we could just dissolve.
Yeah.
You know, what they are already doing is that they are already shutting down the nukes. I don't know if you knew about that, but at Malmstrom Air Force Base, the ETs came in, and they're hovering right over the base, and they came in and they shut down all the nukes and dearmed them.
Even Korea?
They can anywhere. You don't have to worry about Korea, because Korea will never get their missiles off the ground, because we'll either shoot them down or the ETs will shoot them down. So,
oh yeah,
that's just to keep the war industry going. They can't want to keep everybody in fear. You know that? Hey,
oh yeah,
you should be very scared. Don't worry, we'll take care of you. Just keep paying those taxes for a war that we're instigating that will never happen. You know, but anyway, that's just a big smoke screen, you know, that they're doing just to keep people in fear. But what else would you want them to do? Let's say if you had beings that came here that had, let's say they could end disease and they were peaceful and they could heal anything. They could clean up the planet. They had technology that was fuelless, you know, that, what would you ask them if they had all these abilities?
I would ask them first to maybe, like, help all the kids that are homeless and stuff that have to eat, like, mud and stuff. Give make some plants for them. Give them some, like, bread and tomatoes and stuff. Mm-hmm. And also, maybe, like, make new vehicles for us and new, like, weaponry.
What kind of vehicles would you make?
Maybe going on flying vehicle. They can make maybe UFOs, but like
So you wouldn't need tires or gas or anything. You could just like get up in the morning and go out and get on your ship and say, hey, I'm going to have...
Yeah, like a hovering car.
Or I'm going to have breakfast in Australia and be there in like, you know, travel several thousand miles an hour and be there in like 20 minutes or something.
Yeah.
That'd be fun, wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, all that technology is here already. We don't have to have the ETs. We just have to get the Black Projects to let us have it.
Oh.
That'd be a good idea, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
So can you think of any other things? Like what do you think, like, from your perspective, you know, how... What would you say to people that are just, you know, going bonkers right now, that aren't being kind to each other and the planet, and they're acting in very selfish ways and very greedy, you know, like the banksters, and they're just, all they do is care about themselves and they don't care about people losing their homes and...
Maybe, if the ETs were here still?
I mean, what would you say to people and yourself? Like, what do you think the answer is to that, or...
I would say first they should try to go to therapy.
Yeah, that would be a good one.
And also maybe they should take time to clear their hearts and stuff.
That's a big one, yeah. Clear your hearts.
Yeah, just like one time before you do it. Like say if I rob this person, could I get in trouble or not? And then try to envision the future of what'll happen.
Yeah. What about like lying and things like that? There's a lot of that going on, and using people and just people, you know, it's like like all the politicians, you know, what they're doing. You know, they don't tell us the truth and they make all these promises every time. And they lie and then they make a whole lot of money and never do what we ask them to do. What would you say to them? Is that a tough one?
Yeah.
Maybe they're not. Maybe there's not much you can say to them. They're just doing they're going to do their thing no matter what. And maybe words are just wasted on these people.
Yeah, and then maybe they'll learn their consequence someday.
Yeah, like karma.
Yeah. See what'll happen to them if they keep on doing it.
And maybe they should lose their homes.
Yeah.
And lose their jobs and lose whatever money they made at the expense of humanity and the earth. So basically universal law or karma will take care of this, you know, with these people. You think there's not much you can say to them because they've already chosen. Yeah, it's a tough one. What about all the warring going on and people that are working for the war industry and working for the making bombs and making weapons? Let's say, what if they're making those weapons and selling them to people that are coming over here and using them on us, you know,
Well, first I would say for the kids working for them that only make like 5 cents, like each day for doing like, all their chores and making nukes. I would tell them to make God clear the people's hearts and stuff.
And so like the sweatshops where they have all these children working all day and into the night. And
only make 5 cents each day.
Well, you're going to the right place, you know, to get help. You know, it's hard to be praying to God, you know, but sometimes I think we need to speak up on this level too, you know, but. What if you prayed to God and God said, that's a great idea. I'm sending you to tell them.
Well, maybe I could tell them I need backup.
That's a good one. Yeah, don't walk in there without backup. That's a definite.
Get like the Wolverines and stuff.
Yeah, send a bunch of Wolverines and a few elephants.
Animal army.
Animal army.
Yeah, that might not be a bad
some
idea.
Some bowls.
Yeah.
I'll get Yeshi over there.
Oh yeah, get the big yak bowl. That's a good one. He'll back you up. Yeah, he's a big boy. You like those, huh? You like the yaks, hanging out with the yaks. They're fun, huh?
Yeah.
Kind of looks like something out of that movie, Airbender.
Oh, yeah. That.
He has the big tail.
Yeah. That makes him fly.
Yeah. Well, Yeshi has a big tail. When he gets it up, it has a big white tail.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of neat. Yeah.
Maybe he's related.
Yeah. Well, I think that's good. So, like, in summing it up, what would you, if you had one message to tell the planet, let's say you're going to tell the Earth and your voice can be heard everywhere across the planet, what would you tell people in these times? Like, what do you advise people to do right now?
I would tell them to start planting and stuff since any day, like, your meat and stuff could stop working and you need to start planting, and also world peace.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah. And stop like all the robbers, gangsters.
Yeah.
All those people.
Start being kind to each other.
All the people harming people for money and stuff.
Yeah. So would that include like stop the wars?
Yeah.
And then stop making money on wars and disease and things like that, that do something of that nature. And what do you think about just the basics? What kind of basics do people need to live by?
They need to live by not using so much energy at a light. Maybe like taking less shower time, like just get in, rinse off for like 30 seconds, put everything on you, shampoo and stuff.
Yeah.
Rinse off again.
I'm guilty of that one because I have a big bathtub and I love sitting in. It's the only thing that keeps me through the winter up here because it's so cold. But we have unlimited water up here, you know, the resources, and our water's fresh and pure. No, what do you think about the people that are just operating out of a really selfish way? All they do is care about themselves and their own program and whatever is in it for them, and you know, really operating from that level, or. You know, how do you explain to them that everything's connected or everything's one, and that karma is real, and you know, we need to really, like you were saying before, operate from the heart. You know, get very clear within our hearts and be honest and tell the truth and be kind to each other and service oriented and clean up the environment. All those things. You think that's a really good idea right now, or do you think it's better just to do whatever you want and don't care about anybody else?
I think it's not good to care about just yourself, because karma is real. Because at my school, I don't know if you know this, someone was using the zip line. Now it's gone because of this. Then someone went. They jumped on the person. The person fell and broke her arm. And then after that, a couple weeks later, the other girl broke her arm.
Oh, wow. The same girl that jumped on the other one ended up breaking her arm, too. That's pretty fast, huh? That's pretty quick.
I don't know how she broke her arm.
Yeah. It's interesting how that works. So it doesn't seem like everything's happening really fast right now. So, so you know, that old saying, whatever you do unto, you know, do unto others that you'd like them to do unto you. Or how about do unto the planet as you'd like to have do unto you? You know, maybe take it to the next level. What about God? You know, do you think we all came from God and we all go back to God, or?
Yeah, I think Oh, we all came from God, and when we die, we'll go on the gate. They'll see if we stay on the gate, mm-hmm. go to Hades, or go up into heaven.
Mm-hmm. That's something you learn from church, like?
Yeah.
What if heaven's much bigger than you thought? What if there's a lot of different levels to heaven? You ever think about that? Like, what if they have spaceships in heaven? And, people got really bored playing harps and sitting on clouds and go, hey, I want a starship. I want a light ship. I want to travel around and help
people. If they get bored playing the harp?
Yeah.
Then I think they should go do that.
Yeah.
Like hang out with my dog since she died.
Yeah, yeah. They do have dogs in heaven.
Mm-hmm. Just ask and then you might get to drive a starship while playing the harp for you. Yeah.
Maybe the starship's powered by a harp.
Yeah.
The frequencies of the harp and you hear the harp playing and then
harp starship.
Yeah. Harp ship Enterprise.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, well, hey, thanks for your input. I mean, it's amazing how we've forgotten the basics that we knew as a kid, and we need to get back to those basics, and they're very simple about treating each other with respect and honor, and loving each other, and being kind to each other, and taking care of our environment, leave it better, than we found it. Like this ranch here, I've planted over 7,000 trees on this ranch, and it was a dump here. I mean, there's just trash everywhere. And now it's got beautiful ponds and trees everywhere and fields of flowers. And it's become a real pristine environment. And the energy here is really high. And people just love coming here. So if we all start thinking that way and thinking of the next generations, thinking of our kids and their kids, then we might stop trashing the planet and trashing each other and start being a little wiser considering our future and what kind of karma we're creating. And one other question, that what do you think about the Native American prophecies where they talk about how one group is going to choose the path of just the ego and they're going to be very service to self oriented and they're going to choose the path of material goods and outer appearances and technology and the whole material world. They're going to go that path. And then they have another path where people are going to live a very spiritual life in harmony with each other and the planet. And they're going to love each other and serve each other and serve God and earth and everything else. And they talk about these two paths and one just crashes, because they are serving themselves and the ego and doing a lot of selfish acts until they and just acquiring material goods and things like that. Their whole thing is outward. Everything is external, right? These other people are on an internal path, living in harmony with each other. Which path do you think is going to continue?
The harmony.
Yeah. So the people that have chosen to live according to soul and spirit and mm-hmm. live in harmony with each other and the planet and be kind to each other and be service-oriented, those people are going to be the ones that are going to inherit the earth.
Yeah.
Would you call them the meek? The meek, where they say the meek will inherit the earth?
Mm-mm. Well, I don't know what that means.
Yeah. Sometimes they say the word meek actually means the learned ones, the ones that are awake, or paying attention. There's a lot of different names for it, but meek are the humble people that are just in service mode. They're more inward and they really care about others and they don't want to create karma or problems in the future. They just want to live according to soul and spirit and serve the source, the creator in all creation. But it's a tough one. Yeah, it's a tough one. But so the other path, the people that are on a very, an ego drive path, or they're very self-absorbed or self-centered and they're going into that direction, that path, do you think that's going to be sustainable? Mm. Or do you think that'll continue?
I think that'll continue.
But where will it go? If you think of karma and things like that, that if people are let's say people are making a whole lot of money, you know, in the war industry, or they're building bombs and weapons and they're destroying the other children of God, but they're making a lot of money, or they're creating diseases and but they're making a lot of money with cures, that those people
will crash.
Yeah,
probably.
Yeah, they'll crash. You know, they'll, so that world is going to come to an end.
Because all the taxes and stuff, because the more money you have, the more taxes you have to pay. So then they'll probably have no money then, like.
And all they have is their karma, huh?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a rough one. But it's sad, you know, some people aren't, you know, right now, do you think people are waking up and given the opportunity of if they're going to serve like the beast or they're going to serve God or?
I don't think
or
so.
Satan, whatever you call it. You think people are choosing right now which way they're going to go?
Yeah, I think they are, since there's a lot of crime in this world and a lot of like good. I think they're all choosing their path.
And one path is probably going to continue, the people that live in peace and harmony with each other and the planet. They're living a very spiritual life close to nature. They'll probably continue. But what, let's say if the monetary system crashes or the grid crashes, you know, everything ends. You know, you can't plug anything in anymore, or you can't go and put your plastic card in and buy things and everything else.
And there's anything.
Yeah, there's no power to run to pump gas or anything else. Where would you want to be if that happened?
I would be probably on a farm growing crops and stuff.
Brilliant. Yeah.
Finding pigs.
Yeah, with your own. Yeah, your own. Be able to take care of yourself and your family and things like that. It's a good one. That's funny, 11 years old and he's got it all figured out. Yeah. Well, anyway, we'll take you off the jury trial here or off the podium. It won't ask you too many questions, but yeah, it's been awesome coming on the show and giving us your perspective. You know, I'd like to get maybe kind of your perspective on some things and you know, your son and things like that. I know he's got some a lot of questions and things, and maybe talk about maybe your experience here that you had with your clearing session, or if you want to talk about it, or just the energies that you experienced and what it felt like to.
Okay. Well. Okay. So with my son, I think my son is so intuitive and.
Yeah, yeah.
And he always, you know, he does speak from his heart, and I respect him more than anything, and I value his input. I'm so happy to have him be so open-minded to be able to come to such a unique place, which was a definite last-minute decision on our part to come here. And I just thought it would be really cool for him to do to talk about it when he goes back from to school on spring break, to have a discussion with his classmates on whether or not, you know, UFOs are real or not, or if he's experienced it here at the ranch. So I just think it's cool. It's a real eye opener. And, this place is definitely magical. Regarding my clearing, it was almost like, being back home for a second, where you feel an inner bliss of just knowing that you're at the right place at the right time. And, you know, for me, having the energies that came through, I don't know if I can mention.
Sure. Yeah, well, whatever you want to mention.
Okay. The one of the energies was, Blessed Mother Mary. And when she came in, you know, I've been praying to have my heart opened. And when she came through, I just started breaking down in tears. And I think that it was, for me, it was almost like, you know, she was embracing me, giving me a hug, and letting me know that everything's going to be okay. And it's okay to love unconditionally, regardless of the sacrifices and the sacrifices that you have to make, because it is for a bigger purpose. So, you know, every choice that you make is about the bigger choice in the long run. And it, for me, just helped me to identify who I am with the higher energies that are working with me, and to be reminded that I'm never alone, that I'm always with this energy, these energies, and the energies are always with me, these higher beings. And I think that when you're here in Earth, it's so dense that you forget about the contract, as I learned this weekend, is what I've signed up for. And you just remember what that contract is, and it really does make you stronger, and knowing that you're here for a purpose, and that it is every choice you make is for the bigger choice. So, but not to take so much, not to take it so serious to the point where you're going to lose focus, but to really, open your heart, you know, to always just lead with your heart, and to lead with love, and to always know that love will always lead you back home, no matter how foggy it gets. For the clearing part, it was almost an eye opener, and a comfort to know that, you know, Blessed Mother Mary is with me, and Ezekiel came in, from this.
Yeah, Ezekiel, yeah.
Ezekiel, sorry.
Yeah.
Which I'm not too familiar who that is, but I.
Yeah. It's actually Ezekiel of old that merged with Cassia, feminine energy. They soul merged and ascended, so they're coming from a very high level. And the Andromedans, when they appeared to me, I asked them who Ezekiel was, and they said the god of eternal bliss. So that's how they referred to Ezekiel.
And I definitely lately have been getting a lot of signs to say follow your bliss. So that's kind of ironic, but to follow my bliss, which.
How do you tell the difference between, let's say, if you're following your heart, but your heart's really wounded, and you're just trying to, you know, still get acceptance and approval outside of yourself through the old paradigm or the old program or family or friends, versus really following your soul heart, you know, going one step up and really getting in touch with your soul and spirit and the agreements and contracts on that level.
I think that for me, it's just, you know, being quiet and, honoring your emotions, because the emotions are there, and you have to honor the feelings when you do go through this process. Mm-hmm. You have to acknowledge your ego.
Yeah.
Or it'll just keep coming after you.
Yeah.
When you acknowledge it and know that you're acknowledging it, and then stepping back and just being the observer, it's almost like watching a lake, and you see a ripple in that lake, and you know the ripple's passing, and it's going to keep passing, but eventually that lake's going to be calm again. Mm-hmm. And so for me, it is kind of like an out of body experience, where you know that you're dealing with all this pain and anguish, but you know that it's for a bigger purpose, where you're trying to plant the seeds of love. You're trying to have the connection. The connection between people is so important, but it's not even the words that are important. It's that heart to heart connection. Mm-hmm. Sending energy to each other's hearts and connecting in that level, that's where you can identify the difference of, you know, living from the heart versus, you know, the
conscious,
the ego.
It's clear. I mean, if you're operating from the ego, you're going to make choices that are within the matrix or within the program that you've been programmed.
Right.
The believe is happiness, the American dream, which you have to be asleep to believe in.
Right.
But and if you're really coming from the heart and the soul, you're going to be making choices that are outside the box, you know, that are different. They're outside the box, and they're going to be more shifting on change and growth and healing and awakening and changing, you know, the old paradigm.
especially since, you know, that's funny that you say that, because I just got out of a 19-year relationship, and it's interesting, from when I went in, I was at a totally different, subconscious level.
Yeah.
And, but coming out, it's like, wow, did I just wake up from, I appreciate the lessons, but now going forward, it's almost like, you know, I have elevated to the point where I'm going to definitely be conscious of my decisions, because every decision, you know, makes a bigger impact. And I definitely want to make sure that I'm making that impact for the, you know, for not only myself, but for everybody that I encounter in my life, for the animals, the plants, for the people, just in general. I want to make it a better place to live.
Yeah.
I want to experience heaven on earth.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's really basically what we came here to do. We came to create heaven on earth. We didn't come to continue in the old paradigm or support the old paradigm, because it's collapsing. You know, the third dimensional world is collapsing, the fifth dimensional world's coming in, and we're going to be pulled through the fourth. But, our security really lies in aligning with soul and spirit and going with this flow, because if we try to go back and recreate the past or go back to the old ways, that is the biggest insecurity that's going to come, because that way is coming to an end. But I see so many people going back and thinking, I can't do this, Mary. I need a job. I need to keep buying all these things. I need to look just right. I need to look this way so society approves of me. And I need to do all these things. And that's the old paradigm, you know?
Yeah, and I think that we all get stuck in that
trap. Yeah, yeah.
You know?
And it's like, it's not easy to step out of that and take a long, hard look and let your spirit guide you, you know, and your soul. But I'm seeing right now, I'm seeing so many relationships and things like that is where one person is really awake or waking up, and the other person is going in the opposite direction, and they're not frequency specific anymore. And the person that goes in the opposite direction or takes the material path or just is into their own sense of gratification or whatever, that's going to crash really hard. You know, if they're in the material world and the outer appearances, and that's all they are, and they aren't going inner to contact the soul and let the soul and spirit be their guide, that path, that external path is no longer sustainable, and it seems to be just folding in on itself as we speak. And I see the handwriting on the wall. It's so easy when you're awake. You step back and you look at it, and you see all the train wrecks coming. You see the social economic train wrecks, you see the environmental train wrecks, you see all these things coming down the pike, and then you live your life accordingly. Well, I'm going to step out of this system and start creating a different system, and I'm going to create a sustainable world where we operate out of the heart, we're kind and loving to each other and live in harmony with nature and the planet. And so I'm going to create a different world, a different system, and that, according to all the Native American prophecies, even biblical prophecies, that system is going to continue and flourish where the old system is going to fold in. So it just seems like the greatest insecurity is thinking that security is aligning with the old matrix or the old system and trying to recreate the past.
I totally believe that. I truly believe that system as we know it is just not going to be. I feel like it is going to go back to old Native American ways or even better. It's going to be 10 times better because we're a lot more evolved, and it's so important to have a business so that we can be able to barter with one another and have a community as one, where we're helping each other, where we're building from each other and, learning from each other, at such a higher level. And it's going to be exciting. I think that, you know, we shouldn't focus on the gloom and doom. We should focus on, We are born to be successful in the light.
Exactly.
It is our destiny. Yeah. So with that, we should focus on how we are going to live in this perfection in a way that we can still grow.
Yeah.
Because, we're constantly learning.
Sustainable. And I know the ME program is pretty much over with. And those that choose the ME program are going to have some real ME experiences, you know, hard lessons down the road. But, you have to start thinking about us, you know, and the bigger picture, the we. In the Native American culture, they don't have a word for me or I. It doesn't exist. there is no me or I. It's always we and us, you know. Mm. So they're always thinking of the bigger picture and the next generations.
Mm.
Most are the ones that have maintained their culture, you know, their past.
Because they know that their choice is affecting their future generations.
Exactly. And it affects everybody. It affects their family. It affects their karma. It affects everything. So choice and action is what it all boils down to. Intent, yeah. Choice, and action.
Intent.
Yeah.
Choice and action.
And watch out for the reaction.
Yeah, you know? Exactly.
Yeah. So, but anyway, it looks like we're coming up to the end of the hour. So we've just got a couple minutes left. Do you want to close out and say any words or any words to the audience on?
To any of my friends listening, this is for Davis. Wait, hold on. Oh yeah. Everything's going to be all right.
Don't worry about the team.
Okay, and also,
I have to excuse the beeps. I'm working on an old computer because the agencies took my other one out, but it'll soon be back. But anyway, so do you have anything to add to that, Mom? I mean, you did a great job on summing it up already, but...
I think that, you know, just remain calm, hold the light within our hearts, and, you know, be willing to open your heart and to be able to lean on each other for comfort and love and the joy that we so desire. Mm-hmm. And remove the mask. There's no need to even put them on because we all see each other for what we really are anyway.
Yeah, nothing's hidden anymore. That's what I heard. The masks are all coming down.
Mm-hmm.
And people's true nature is going to eventually come out, which is really a God being, you know. At the core, there's a loving, joyous, powerful, manifesting God or goddess at the core of everybody's being. But the other crap is coming up. The old ego crap and the old outer program is coming to an end. And people are going kicking and screaming, and some people are just relaxing, you know. They're in the river, you know, and some are hanging on to everything they can and fighting it. And some people are just letting go and flowing and letting soul and spirit take them. And, you know, and some are on a beautiful path and then they end up just sabotaging it, sad, you know, and go the other way. But eventually, you know, it's like that other direction is going to just be a total dead end. And I've seen that over and over in a lot of relationships where one will choose the path of spirit and service and love and joy and bliss and unity consciousness, where another one will choose the path of self and still be operating out of their old wounds and traumas and, you know, wrong conclusions from past experiences. And the ones that choose the higher road, you know, do great and flourish and move on and attract people of like mind to them. And the one that choose the other path end up doing the train wreck, you know, mm-hmm. But that's what they need. I guess, you know, we have to forgive them and release them and let them have their train wreck as much as we love them.
Right. That's their contract.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's
exactly.
Life lesson, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if you don't get on your program, the one you chose to do here, and you're running on your ego, the universe has a way of smacking you right back into place. So
don't get sidetracked. Stay focused within
yeah.
the heart.
Yeah, exactly.
I have one more
focus
thing.
Focus on service.
If anyone's listening that I know, either text me or tell me on Monday at school.
There you go. Nice. All right. We're at the end of the hour here. We're going to have to sign off. And, you know, just a little heads up. We're going to go out Skywatch tonight. I'm sure there's going to be ships tonight. It was a little rainy last night. But, you know, watch the skies. I mean, heads up. They're here. Ships are everywhere. And they're our family, our extended family. And they're coming to help. You know, get us back on track to reset the earth to its natural state, to the Eden it was supposed to be. But it got hijacked, just as many of us have been hijacked from our own spiritual path by certain forces and energies. So anyway, these energies are being removed. These darker, unseen negative influences are being cleaned up. You know, as we speak, there's a major war going on and cleanup process, you know, in the heavens, and it's happening on earth now too. So be sure which side of the fence you're on and always align yourself with soul and spirit and be kind to each other and the planet. With that said, this is James Gillen signing off. Have a great day and pay attention to where your choices and actions are
Peace.
Leading you.
Peace out. Na, 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 kid talk.